HDRadioNetwork.com.
It's time to sit down and shut up. Hollering with Hammer, your host David Hammer brings you on a journey. Nothing is off limits. Everything is left on the table. The one, the only, the incomparable David Hammer is your host. Give him a call, 774-745-5950. It's time for Hollering with Hammer. Let's go up to the broadcast booth with your host, David Hammer.
Good peoples of the world, how you doing tonight? We got a good show lined up. Soldiers of Silas is actually going to be calling in from a van heading to Jersey to do a show tonight. And Racing Underdogs will be on talking NASCAR, you know, all your small market NASCAR stuff. I'm going to start the show off with this. I'm going to go back to it at 7:45. I will not be on the air next Friday. Hollering with Hammer's off next Friday. I will be back December 2nd, 7 o'clock. But there's going to be a change in the show. Now, I'm still here. It's a Hollering with Hammer show. But it's going back to what it was originally supposed to be, which is uncensored all the time. I came into this. I'm an uncensored person. People who know me know. The people who came here to listen to me know what I am. I'm funny. I'm crazy. I'm in your face all the time. I got takes on things. I like to go crazy. So when the head cheese brought me in, he said, you can do whatever you want. It's your show. Go crazy. Be uncensored. Be you. Okay? So if I want to take a lighter and light myself on fire for 2 hours straight and put myself out with a fire extinguisher and just keep doing it with the microphone, I can do that. I can do anything I want. I got away from that. I went through something that I'm coming out of now. I got away from that. I started doing these, like, the interviews and stuff that you guys have been hearing. And it's been great. It's been fun. Listen, I'm not an interviewer. You know, I enjoy doing it, and I'm going to continue to do interviews, but they're going to be uncensored. So, you know, maybe once, like, every month or so, I'll do a whole show that's completely clean for the children and your grandmama can listen to the show. But from now on in, starting December 2nd, 7 o'clock, Hollering with Hammer is back to its roots, baby. We're going straight jacket, in your face with a can of Mace Radio every Friday night, and we're going hardcore, and we're going back to, you know, 2-3 hours, whatever. It's my show. I'll be at the helm at that point completely, and that's just, I'm just taking off. And whatever happens, happens. I appreciate everybody who has been listening to the program. I appreciate everybody who's jumped on board. Signatures for Soldiers is going to play a big part in that. I'm going to step it up for them and start doing some things with them. And so I'm just looking forward to it. I got a lot of things on my mind. We're going back to the politics. We're going back to the nonsense. We're going back to the crazy like it was supposed to be. And, you know, we're just going to have a good time with it and basically just see where it goes. You know, just have fun. Wind down on Friday night. So that'll be December 2nd, 7 o'clock, Hollering with Hammer on Victory Lane Radio, victorylaneradio.com, in the apps on any device, and over on TuneIn, just search Victory Lane Radio. My first guest in that uncensored, you know, the new uncensored Hollering with Hammer, well, the old new uncensored Hollering with Hammer is Joe Solecki. And Joe, if I messed your name up, I think you're Polish like I am. You know, I'm sorry about that. But he's a MMA fighter. He's going to be fighting on CBS Sports coming up. I think it's December 11th, but we're going to have him on December 2nd. It's uncensored. And so you guys will have fun with that. He's going to be fighting. He's an up-and-coming MMA fighter. You know, the kid's on fire right now. He's tearing up the MMA scene. And he fights out of Derek Kennington's gym, Fitness Edge MMA. You can find him on Facebook. Derek Kennington's been on my show twice, actually the last 2 weeks. with the whole Brian Scalfani stuff, and so we appreciate that. And I got a lot of stuff lined up. It's just going to be a blast.
Hey, what's up, David?
But on the show right now is
what's Sony up, man?
Heading to New Jersey. How you doing tonight, guys?
All right, what's going on, Dave? Thanks for having us on the air, guys. Say hello to Dave.
Yo, Dave.
Thanks for having us, man. Yes. We are en route right now to Jersey, and
yeah, that's great. Now you guys are playing tonight in Jersey. Why don't you know? There's people listening out in Jersey. Why don't you go ahead and tell everybody exactly where you're playing tonight?
All right, so what's going on, people? We are going to be heading out to Roxy and Duke's in Dunlin. I believe it's called Dunlin, New Jersey. And there's four or five bands playing tonight. We should be taking the stage around 10:20, but show up early, see the other bands. And shit, we're about an hour and a half away right now, so we're hoping to get there and get on stage in time.
Okay, great. Now, I put your song Freedom's Children up on YouTube, and a lot of people liked it. A lot of people were asking where to find you guys, and that's the easiest place would be Facebook, Soldiers of Solace. And then also, you guys have a website, soldiersofsolace.com. If you want to talk for a minute and just tell everybody about your music and, you know, how you guys got started and, you know, about, you know, repping Connecticut and the heavy rock scene and stuff like that, you can go ahead.
Yeah, man. Thanks for the opportunity to share some of our information. We appreciate it. You know, like you mentioned, you know, we're a heavy rock band. A lot of people, you know, kind of ask us what our genre is. And I think we're heavy rock with a metal edge. You know, we don't really define ourselves as really any genre, but we're definitely, definitely not elevator music, put it that way. We got together, this particular band, a little over a year ago. We've all been sort of in the Connecticut music scene for, you know, at least 10, 15 years now. And, collectively we've all been in separate bands, we saw some relative success separately. But I think all these years we kind of knew we were going to end up, you know, together in a project. So Soldiers of Solace is comprised of a bunch of guys from Connecticut. And we actually, our drummer came over from Italy about a year ago to join our band. And, you know, we were fortunate enough exactly a year after he came over and a year after we came together, we had a number one song on iRock Radio, which we appreciated a lot for those guys supporting us. And that song was called Rude Awakening. And, we just released another single a couple months back called Freedom's Children. And Freedom's Children is really sort of an expose on what's happening right now in our, you know, great nation. You know, we're crazy musicians, man. And if it wasn't for those guys out there fighting for us every day and those ladies fighting for us every day, we wouldn't have the opportunity to be the crazy musicians that we are on a regular basis and to do what we love. So, you know, we're patriots for all the right reasons. So, Freedom's Children is sort of an uplifting, powerful song that we released with the anticipation of getting some wind back in the sails of our nation and giving some rock to the roll, so to speak. So yeah, right now, man, what we're doing is we're playing as many strategically placed shows as we can, the shows that make sense. We're playing some shows in Connecticut. We're also playing some shows in Rhode Island, Jersey. We're moving further and further out into the United States. And we're looking to shop some labels and some management right now because we've kind of gotten to a point where we're thinking about taking it, you know, international. So that's kind of where we're at, man. And, you know, again, we appreciate you guys having us. And I'm not sure if we're going to lose you any minute here because we're going to be going through a crazy area. So thanks again, Dave. We really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem. Now, a few things I wanted to touch on in case I lose you. I'll just keep going. But I couldn't get the song on tonight, but we're going to play it December 2nd when my show comes back on. We're going to play Freedom's Children. We're real pro-military over here at Victory Lane Radio, victorylaneradio.com. Now, I had noticed that iRock Radio had got behind you, and that's kind of a big deal that they're playing. You know, WCCC was, you know, legendary here in Connecticut. And,
yeah.
You know, all radio guys and everybody, I mean, everybody remembers, you know, Howard Stern was on that network and they just played, they were huge in the local scene for many years, always pushing local music. And now they're over on, you know, iRockRadio.com. And, it's great to hear you guys mixed in, you know, like with Metallica and stuff like that. Now in 1 year, you said you guys have only been together 1 year. You've already shared stages with you know, like Nonpoint and Jamie Joshua from Hatebreed, you know, Scott Stapp from Creed. What is that like? I know you guys have all played together, I mean, played separately for many years, but what's it like getting together with a new band and, you know, going out with like a Nonpoint or like a Scott Stapp? Like, what is that feeling like for you guys being a new unit, like, together?
Yeah, man, no, I appreciate you recognizing that. And, you know, I'll tell you, I think it's kind of the Goldilocks syndrome. You know, I think a lot of us had a lot of, you know, different projects or, bands in the past. And, you know, like I said, Goldilocks syndrome, one's a little too hot, one's a little too cold. And the one that we're in right now is just right. It makes sense for everybody. You know, the music that we're creating right now, I think it really, you know, really people really connect with it. It's really relevant to what people are going through on a regular basis. You don't need to be a rock star to understand our music or to appreciate it. You know, it's for the everyday guy out there working hard for a living and, you know, going through trials and tribulations. And, you know, one of the things that you mentioned is, you know, we've seen some relative success in a short period of time. And what I attribute that to is our experience in the past. You know, we figured out over the years not only what to do, but more importantly, we figured out what not to do. So, you know, one of the things that we do now is we take our music very seriously, our craft seriously. We appreciate our fans and our supporters, everybody who's out there, and we really feel like we've reached a point of maturity that our friends and our fans and supporters deserve the best that we could give. So, you know, we're not going to go out there and give a half-assed show. We're not going to record a half-assed recording. We're not going to write a half-assed song just to have 12 songs on an LP. We make sure everything we do that we're proud of. And I think the public sees that. You know, we've been fortunate over the years to, you know, make some real strong connections and networking opportunities. You know, one of those networking connections that we've made over the years is Chris Harris. We call him Zeus in the industry. He's engineered and recorded both of our singles that we have out, Rude Awakening and Freedom's Children. And just to have, you know, his name attached to something, to know that he supports us. You know, same thing with the guys from, from iRock Radio. You know, these guys were, you know, fundamental and integral in the Connecticut music scene for many, many years. Just to have, you know, their support and their name attached to what we're doing as well has helped us out a lot, you know, and I think it lends some credence to what we bring. So, you know, without patting ourselves on the back, I think it's the end result from all our hard work is that we're presented with more hard work and we continue to do it.
Yeah, that's true. What I always tell people is that this is my personal opinion is you hear music on regular radio and a lot of it, in my personal opinion, a lot of it is garbage. You got to go out and support the local scene. I mean, the local scene is where it starts and you got to go out and iRock Radio. You know, I'm not pushing iRock Radio. I'm on Victory Lane Radio, but it's two different outlets.
Sure, man.
But, you know, iRock Radio is great. And, you know, I'll say it. They're great. WCCC was legendary. That was my station. And, you know, they always push local music. And they had success. They pushed bands to success, you know, relative success. And what is it like trying to, like you said, you're heading to Jersey tonight and stuff like that. And you had also said you're looking to, like, go a little further out into the United States. Is there anything coming up? Like, do you have any festivals or anything like that planned as of now?
Well, you know, right now, I think it's kind of ironic. But right now, you know, since we've seen some, you know, you had said, some relative success and some exposure through different radio, you know, venues, you know, whether it's iRock Radio or Boston Rock Radio has been a big supporter of ours. And New England Rocker, you know, there's a lot of different stations out there that have really reached out to us. I think, you know, we've been getting a lot of communication from, you know, different record labels at this point, different promoters. And, you know, one of the things that we're considering that we'd really like to do is, and you had mentioned festivals, we're really looking to, you know, get on board with a couple of major festivals that are coming up over the next year. And, you know, and really take our craft and take our product and get out there. You know, I think that right now, you know, you had mentioned the local scene. You know, we definitely are supporters of our fellow musicians in the local area. It's difficult sometimes for us to get to every show that we're invited to make an appearance because we're so busy ourselves. But absolutely, you know, we're all about building bridges and not burning bridges. So whenever we have the opportunity to support, you know, one of our fellow local artists, we definitely do. You know, but that goes without saying. I mean, it doesn't need to be a local artist. Anybody who's who takes their craft seriously and puts in the hard work, you know, to do what they feel they need to do, you know, to really bring that to people with honesty, we think we support that. So, you know, I think right now one of our goals is to really, once we're done with our show in Jersey, we're going to be coming back, working on writing for a while. We have a show coming up in Rhode Island, and another show coming up in the local Connecticut area. But I think in the meantime, we're going to be working on writing. We're going to be working on a full album. And again, then at that point, really focusing on, you know, shopping labels and getting some shows where we can get some exposure to different labels, maybe some showcases, because truly right now, that's the next step in our career is looking at labels.
Okay, everybody's listening to the Hollering with Hammer radio show on VictoryLaneRadio.com, and we're joined by Soldiers of Solace heading to New Jersey right now to play a show. And, yeah, you touched on a lot of great points. One thing, what I meant by, like, your local scene is, you know, I'm personally in the Connecticut area, but I mean, like, in general, you know, all over the place. In my opinion, when WCCC went off the radio, like, that was the end of this type of rock and roll in Connecticut radio, really, if you think about it. I mean, the other stations don't play it. And just like in New York, when K-Rock switched formats, it was the same thing. And people still want to hear that music, and they take it to the Internet. And I noticed, like, the Internet now is the place to get that music and to really... really step up. And I noticed you guys have stepped up your social media game. You're on Facebook. You're at Soldiers of Solace on Facebook. You can just type that in, and you guys put up videos. Your social media is A+, all the dates, the tour dates and stuff like that. Do you find yourself always looking ahead for social media now? Like, is social media something? It wasn't like in the 90s, there was no social media. So is that something an up-and-coming band is really trying to push and work in the social media? Do you find yourself looking at that?
No, I think that's a very great observation. I think you're right on. You're very accurate with that. I mean, you know, truthfully, man, I'm 43 years old. So, you know, when I was younger, when we were in high school going to shows, or, you know, in college going to shows, social media was nothing more than a flyer on top of a urinal when you're at the bathroom. You know, that's what social media was. It was a sticker on a, you know, inside of a telephone booth for a band. Or a flyer that you handwrite and stick on a telephone pole. You know, that was our social media. That's how we knew what shows were coming up, you know, or who was up and coming. You know, nowadays it's a situation where, you know, and I say this kind of in jest, but it's the truth. It's like anybody with a lawnmower and a laptop is, you know, can be a landscaper, because you can hide behind a screen and nobody really knows what you, you know, what you are, you know? It's the same thing with bands. I mean, I think it's important to be able to recognize, you know, that anybody out there that has, you know, the ability to record or write music has the ability to get the music out nowadays. And I think that's a great thing. That's a great avenue. But as far as the social media piece goes, you know, really, man, you know, there's an old saying, you can't polish shit, you know? So we make sure that whatever we put out for our music is fundamentally, great, that we're 100% happy with what we put out and what our performance is. And then we start working on the social media aspect. I mean, the guys in the band, really, we sort of take, you know, different pieces of this. You know, our lead guitarist, Jeff, is really, you know, he's always popping on Twitter, and he's always out there. He's a Tweety Bird, getting our information out there. And, you know, our drummer, Francesco, is, you know, doing a lot with signage and t-shirts, and the same thing, you know, goes for Lewis, rhythm guitarist. He's always out there on Facebook doing something. And same thing with Ron, our bass player. And, you know, so I think kind of as a unit, we realize that social media really is, you know, your first platform for having conversations with your fans. And, you know, you want to have professional detachment where you're accessible to a certain point. But, you know, people don't need to know where we're having dinner every night, you know, or what we're doing on vacation. They like to know, you know, where our shows are. They like to be, you know, in contact with us, so they know where we're going to be doing you know, having an appearance or maybe CD signings, things like that. But social media is your first, you know, your first level of communication with your fans and your listeners. You know, in 2016, 2017, that's just the nature of the beast right now. So, absolutely, we take social media very, very seriously. And listen, I'm going to say this, you know, on the flip side of that, you know, we also realize that, you know, shit, you know, just like you have people spread the great news, for, you know, for your successes, you know, if you're out there being a jerk to somebody and you're representing your band, you know, the next morning you wake up and everybody can hear you a new one. And the next thing you know, everything you've worked for is falling apart. And that's the other part of social media, you know, so we try to make, you know, maintain, you know, our professionalism when we're out there in the world and we're playing, and we make sure that our fans realize that we appreciate them and we give them some access to us.
Yeah, that's well said. Everything you said. I just want to go back real quick, but you're right. I'm in my late 30s, so I know about the flyers. That was the social media, you know, flyers for shows and stuff like that. And I just see it that way now. I mean, MTV doesn't play music, and
right.
There really isn't, like, my music is heavy rock music. Without going on the internet in the state of Connecticut, maybe if you're over by Rhode Island, you could pick up something. But in the center of Connecticut, without going on the internet, you're not going to pick up newer heavy rock music. You know, and it's sad, and it's the same in New York City, actually. I mean, you can get a station out of Long Island, but they mix in garbage with the heavy, you know, heavy rock and, you know, lighter heavy metal and stuff like that, and it's almost unlistenable. And but I really appreciate you guys coming on tonight. Now, if you want to tell everybody where to go to check you guys out and you know, buy your music, check your music out and stuff like that, I had linked one song up on all the Hollering with Hammer social media. Facebook, Twitter, everything like that. Like I said, I'm going to have it played on my show December 2nd. Sorry, I couldn't get that out tonight.
No,
but
man, not at all.
Where to go to purchase your music or just check you guys out, that'd be great.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that. You know, again, we as a band appreciate, you know, the opportunity to even be on here and to be heard right now. You know, it's a big honor for us. I before I even give any information about where to find our stuff and buy our stuff, I just want to say, you know, really quickly, I want to, you know, throw a shout out there to Paul Coleman of As Darkness Dies. He's the lead guitarist of As Darkness Dies, and he's, you know, a good friend of ours. And he's actually the person who turned us on to you, and wanted to let you know that he speaks very highly of you as well. So we appreciate you having us on here. You know, so our band, so you guys don't forget, we are called Soldiers of Solace. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Soldiers of Solace. You can find us on Reverb Nation, Soldiers of Solace. You can go on iTunes, you can go on Amazon, any major digital distribution site, you can go on and find our music. Just search Soldiers of Solace. You can search one of our songs called Rude Awakening and another one of our songs called Freedom's Children. You can purchase our stuff right on iTunes. You know, when I tell people this all the time, you know, if you want a t-shirt and you want a physical CD, just shoot us a message on our inbox. One of us will check it and we'll make sure you get it, you know, represent the band. And we appreciate everything that you guys do for us. And you know, to our fans out there, stay strong and soldier on, guys. We love you and we appreciate you.
Yeah, that's great. Everybody go check that out. Soldiersofsolace.com. On the Paul Coleman, though. Paul Coleman, that's a great guy. He did our show. He's a couple of the As Darkness Dies guys have done a show. Paul Coleman, you know, he's a friend. He's a great guy. We've gone through pretty much a lot of the same, you know, shit through life. And I'm actually dealing with a situation, and I'm actually going to be doing the same thing he did better situations in the future, just like he's doing now. You know, I'm not going to put his business out there, but, you know, he's a great guy. As Darkness Dies, another great band out of Connecticut, you know, that just goes after it every show. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on, man. You're welcome back anytime. Anytime you have a show coming up, anytime you just want to come on and promote anything, you're more than welcome to.
Hey, David, man, thank you so much. And I just want to put the phone out there 1 second so my guys could yell a big thanks to you guys.
bad, guys.
All right, brother. So listen, man. Send us a link so we can check out the show. All right.
All right. That's no problem. Thank you, guys.
All right. All right, man. Peace. Rock on.
All right. The Soldiers of Solace heading to New Jersey right now to do a show. Calling in to the Hollywood Hammer Show on VictoryLaneRadio.com. I like those guys, man. I like them. Paul Coleman and As Darkness Dies. Joe over there at As Darkness Dies. Those guys put me on to them. I listened to their music, the music that I could find briefly. And I listened to it. I liked it. I researched them more. I reached out to those guys. I was supposed to be at a show of theirs in Stanford last week, but, you know, once again, my life keeps getting in the way of my life, but that's all going to change real shortly. It's changing now, actually, and it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to a new beginning. But, yeah, I'm going to check them guys out for sure. And that it's really important to support local music, because that local music, you know, goes on to be national music. And with MTV, there's no music on MTV. And like we just talked about, I'm not going to keep repeating it, but, you know, I know everybody is from all over the country and other countries listening, but in the tri-state area, there is no heavy rock, you know, lighter heavy metal stations anymore. CCC is gone. They are on iRock, you know, but without going to the internet, if you go to the internet, there's 99,010,374 trillion heavy rock stations on the internet. But to actually just hit a station in your car going through New York, going through New Jersey, going through any of these places, it doesn't happen anymore. You know, you used to get, you know, 90, what was it, K-Rock out of New York. That was the best rock music. I think they play salsa now. Nothing wrong with salsa. You know, me personally, if I'm at a strip club, but it's the music scene is going. There is a station on Long Island. I'm not even going to mention the name of it because I got no love for them. They do play some good songs once in a while, but the music scene to the public is going down. That's why I'm saying get out to these clubs. Get out to these, you know, even the bar scene when local music. You know, head to the show to see a national act. But go early and watch all the bands that are playing before. You know, that's what I'm trying to push and promote. And you head to their website, soldiersofsolace.com, and their Facebook, like I said, their Facebook page is great. Check them out. And that was awesome. They checked in on the way to a show in Jersey. If you want to see that information, if you're in Jersey right now and you want to know where that is, where that's going down, head over to my Facebook page and look at the little poster. You go down to Halloween with Hammer and look at the little poster, or head over to Soldiers of Solace Facebook page and check that out. I do not have that written down in front of me, but you can definitely check them out. Listen to their song, you know, purchase their album. That's how it's done. So we're just waiting on Racing Underdogs. He's going to come on. We're going to talk small market NASCAR. You know, I'm a race car guy. Yeah, this is a race car network, not a race car show. I sprinkled in some race car stuff. Racing Underdogs came in with me. I asked him, he's on Twitter. He's a big deal on Twitter talking NASCAR, small market stuff. And I asked him to come on with me from time to time. And, you know, he was right there with it. So I appreciate that. I'm trying to get the Victory Lane Radio core audience into my show. And that'll be good if some of those guys transfer over and listen. I do have Derek Culp and Joey Gase lined up at some point in the future. You know, probably the off season of NASCAR, we could get them on. And there's actually some local races have reached out to me over the last couple of days. So that'll be fun. Sprinkle in some racing, but we're going to be doing a lot of music. We're going to be doing a lot of politics. We're going to be doing a lot of nonsense, stuff like that. It's going back to what it was supposed to be. You know what I mean? So I'm looking forward to it. Everybody else is, man. You know, Brandon Montgomery, it's a blind leading the blind. That's what it is. Things are going to change. Everything's going to be all right for everybody. You know, Donald Trump is our president. Those who like it, that's good. I like it. Those who don't like it, you know, we didn't like Obama. The ones that like Trump, we didn't like Obama. You know, some people didn't like Bush. You just deal with it. And we're going to be going deep into that in the upcoming months. But like I said, Joe Selecki, MMA fighter. I think he's out of South Carolina. He's going to be fighting on CBS Sports coming up in December. He will be on Uncensored December 2nd, 7 o'clock. VictoryLaneRadio.com, the Hollering with Hammer show. So we're just waiting now. So right now on the line, on Twitter, Racing Underdogs, talking some NASCAR small market stuff. How you doing tonight, buddy?
Doing well. How you doing, Hammer?
I'm doing good, man. It's been a while. It's been a while, but we're going to have you on. We're going to have you on a regular basis. Things have been crazy, and we're not going to be on next week. But starting up December 2nd, we're going back to the Uncensored deal, and I'm excited to get some NASCAR stuff on. So let's just get with it, man. We got some people listening tonight. I know there's a lot of people right at this particular moment listening. So if you want to just go right into it, we talk some small market NASCAR tonight.
Yeah, well, you know, we got the last race of the season, which I guess depends on how you're feeling about how long the season is. I'm kind of glad to get a break, but I always like the entertainment, but it's a long-ass season. So it's kind of nice to get a break going into Homestead and then into the holidays. So it's going to be a pretty crazy off season, at least on the Cup side. It's always crazy in Xfinity because there's so many ride buying deals and things change from week to week. But I don't know if I've ever seen going into a Cup off season or truly a silly season this year with these smaller teams with this charter system they have in place. Seems like just about every small one or two team operation kind of has its seat open. And there's a lot of dominoes that are going to fall here pretty quick. Mostly relating to a lot of the Richard Childress Alliance cars. And then also with a few teams that might not be around when we come towards Daytona time. So, you know, the first thing that comes to mind to me right off the bat is a pretty big deal for Michael Annette is leaving Harry Scott Motorsports on the Cup side. He's been driving the 46. He's taken his Pilot Flying J sponsorship over to Junior Motorsports in the Xfinity side, which is taking quite a bit of money from Harry Scott Motorsports, as well as Clint Bowyer leaving with 5-Hour Energy. So there's a lot of circulating rumors that the Harry Scott Motorsports may not be in existence to some extent next year. I'm not sure what number of teams they'll field, but there's a lot of question marks there, as well as Brian Scott with the Richard Petering Motorsports ride in the 44 is retiring at the end of this year at the ripe old age of 28. So there's another big question mark about what's going to happen with that 44 ride, if someone's going to come in with another sponsor backing them and potentially buy the ride, or if someone might get a chance at that equipment to join Eric Almirola in the 43. So right off the bat, those are some pretty big moves right there. And that's not even going into what's about to happen with a couple of these teams related to Richard Childress Racing. So it's pretty wild, man. I've never quite seen it like this. But
yeah, it's definitely getting down. I see all over the internet, you know, drivers going here and there. It's mostly Xfinity, but like you said, H. Scott, I mean, what do you see? Do you see anything, like any possible fits there or anything going on there?
That's a good question. I don't know, possibly. They have a charter. Now, the charter for the 46 car was leased from Premium Motorsports, and that you can only do that once every 5 years. So the 98, which also is up in the play for whoever's going to go there, Reed Sorensen's taking it over now. Cole Witt is seemingly left the team and is racing in Xfinity now for TriStar Motorsports, at least to end the season. So I know that 46, I would not expect to see that back. What happens with that 15, used to be the 51 with Justin Allgaier. It's hard to say. Justin Allgaier has that sponsorship, and he's staying put in the Xfinity series. In fact, he's racing for a championship tomorrow night. So I cannot tell you what's going to happen with that ride, nor can I tell you what's going to happen with a few of these other ones. I think what surprised everyone with the 95 car is there's been a lot of talk about Ty Dillon potentially moving up to the Cup Series into either the 13 car or the 95 car.
And how's it, just by happenstance, it seems that the 95 team, Levine Family Racing, they are working to keep Michael McDowell in that car for next year. They're looking for sponsorship. However, they lost their charter with one of their owners they had merged with at the beginning of this season, Joe Falk. He's leaving with his charter, so they've essentially bought the charter from the 7 car, which was Tommy Baldwin Racing. And this is good. I wish I had a whiteboard and we had like a video feed for everyone to follow along. But the 7 car, essentially, which has been fielded by Regan Smith, is pretty well kaput after this year. It may be on a part-time basis. You may see some rides out of it. I don't know who the driver would be or if they'll even try. However, there's a good chance that that 7 car might not even see the track next year because they don't have a guaranteed spot anymore, and that's going to the 95 car. And then there's still some talk about whether Ty Dillon would go, potentially replacing Casey Mears in the 13 car. Or potentially wherever Joe Falk went with his charter, if he started the 33 car back up or the 40 car that he was running with Hillman Racing. So, you know, it all depends a lot on how Richard Childress' grandson gets sponsorship and where he can go, and then everything else to fall into place, I think. So, and on top of everything else, you still have the Burger King, the BK Racing cars, the two drivers there, and they're only on 1-year deals, and there's been no announcements on if Matt DiBenedetto, who had a great run at Bristol of the top 10, there's no guarantee if he'll be back. He's kind of taken a back seat to some other drivers who have bought that 83 car, and he's had to race his way into the last few races in the 93 car. And he's had a great year. However, there's no guarantee he could be back depending on funding as well as David Reagan. So right now, the way I see it, the only person that pays to be right now is AJ Allmendinger. He seems to be sitting pretty safe with a long-term contract. And even that team may double up and field a second car. They've talked about Greg Biffle or Chris Buescher going to that car. There's all kinds of rumors too. So, but JTG Doherty with that 47 is about the safest ride to be in right now, and as far as the small market teams go.
Yeah, now, what do you think? We've talked about the charter system. We don't have to rehash that tonight. It makes me nuts, and I think you do need to get a whiteboard because it seems to change every time we talk about who's selling this and you know, who got this.
I know.
So now, if there's anything else you want to touch with NASCAR, go ahead. But I was going to jump over to Xfinity. I mean, the names change every week now. It happens that way at the end of the year. So we're at the end of the year. All the names are changing.
Right.
Is there any major stuff that's already out there that, you know, involves, like, you know, one of the small market drivers going to a bigger team that's already out there? That I don't personally know about. So is there anything that's already happened for next season, or is everything just still up in the air?
It's still up in the air. The most I could tell you is, you know, there's been a couple of really good drives by both Ray Black Jr. and BJ McLeod. They're both in the top 20 in points. I know they definitely have stated that they intend to be back in Xfinity Series. I'd love to say I've had some more information on the Johnny Davidson Motorsports guys, the JD Motorsports, Ryan Preece, Garrett Smithley, and Ross Chastain. All three of those cars are in the top 20 in points. However, it's gonna have to wait for some of these sponsorship dominoes to fall to know exactly who's sitting where when it comes down to it. You know, and on top of that, you have other drivers who are looking to get more exposure, like Ryan Ellis, and he has Science Logic, who's been coming on board piece by piece, a few more races at a time. I know he'd love for them to continue growing their involvement, whether it's on the cup side or with some maybe higher quality middle tier to top tier Xfinity rides. But all that just remains to be seen. Obviously, with Michael Annette going over to the 5 car in the Xfinity, that really kind of shores up a lot of the JRM stuff for the most part. And I don't know where that would leave any space for some of those potential drivers looking for rides. It will be a different landscape in Xfinity since the Cup drivers will be limited in how much they can participate during the season. You know, they're limited to 10 races. I think it's a great deal. It's not, I don't think, what everyone was hoping for at least getting some exposure. They like all the Cup, a lot of people would like a lot of the Cup drivers just to be caught completely out of the series. But hopefully you'll see some more one-offs or three or four races for some smaller name guys, kind of like it was back in the mid to early 2000s, back when Landon Castle had a ride as a development driver, and Matt DiBenedetto was a Joe Gibbs, you know, all these Cole Whitler as a JRM, you know, development driver. It'd be great to get back to that again so we could start talking about these guys who came up almost as blue-collar racers and then just got that chance based on talent and not on money. But I hate to say it, for the most part, we'll be waiting into December and January to see where a lot of this goes in Xfinity. It's just all a money game unless you are pretty much own the team, like a Ryan Sieg or a Jeremy Clements or Ray Black Jr. pretty much. So,
yeah, I'm not gonna put the guy's name out there, but there was a race car driver who's not racing anymore, and he actually had a win, I think a couple wins, in NASCAR, in multiple series in NASCAR level, and it came down to money, not talent, and he was relatively young, and the sponsorship just dried up, and talent didn't do it. And you get guys, you know, like I've said it forever in the last 5-10 years, you know, daddy's money goes a long way.
And, it goes, you know, right now it goes a real long way.
Right, and you see a lot of guys sitting who have won races in the series, and they don't have a ride, and they are completely talented enough to go back to winning races if they had it. Now, one name, just real quick, I'll throw out there. We got about 5 more minutes here. One name I'll throw out there real quick. I'd like to have him on the show. I'd like to see if you know anything about it. Mario Godwin.
Sure.
When he races, you see him in the top 15 during races. You see him finish in the top 20 from time to time. And lately I've noticed better sponsorship, you know, stuff on his car. Is there anything going on with that for next year? And, you know, there's a couple guys in his level that, you know, come on. I forget the guy's name, but the Lucas car at Daytona, you know, Gerhardt, always in the top 15, top 20, but they're going.
Right.
And Mario Gaza has been racing. I've seen the name more and more and more, and he's got decent sponsorship. Is there anything coming long-term with him, like for a full season?
For a full season, you know, and he will race pretty much full-time this year, but he's also one of the guys who will, when he can, and he can get like a sponsorship with Bucked Up Apparel or CrashClaimsRUs.com or whatever, you know, he'll race those races. A lot of times he'll have to farm out that ride to other drivers, mostly Canadian drivers, and he has a little network almost of Canadian drivers that he supports, and if he's not in the ride, he's giving someone else, you know, the opportunity, like a Montanois or someone else. I forget who he had in the car last week, but also had a great run. But that is not bad equipment. It's consistently top 25 equipment. And he's just one of the good guys of the sport who will go out and put a driver who maybe is looking for the opportunity just for the sake of an opportunity. I've seen him put Todd Bodine in the car a couple of years back, and Todd had some great runs. And, you know, you'd love to see more things like that, just like JD Motorsports, where they're taking these drivers and giving them chances. And even if you have a little bit of sponsorship to bring with you, that's great. But if you don't, and they have enough, just at least get you through the race, maybe not on all sticker tires. You may have to use a few scuff sets that you buy off of the other teams. But, no, it'd be great to get him on and find out a little bit more, because he's done quite a bit this year. I've been pretty impressed with how that car has run at times, especially on the road courses as well. So,
yeah. Now, did you have anything briefly on the? This was a while back, but I wasn't on the air on the David Starr losing his ride.
It's a tricky one. Zachary was a sponsor that had come up with him through the Truck Series and been a long term sponsor, and seemingly one way or another, you know, JJ Yaley's now driving the car David Starr started off with. I will say JJ's given it a great ride. He does an amazing job for TriStar. However, David seemed to get the short end of the stick on that deal. Sometimes it's just a business, and we don't know all the workings that go on there, but it would appear that they were certainly sold by whatever line of thinking they were given on that one, and David was kind of left hanging. Now, luckily for him, you know, Ryan Sieg had some equipment that he could put him in for a second car, and David's been able to run the majority of the second half of the season in that 93 car, the teammate. But that equipment isn't the same stuff that necessarily Ryan Sieg ran and made the chase with. However, David at least has been lucky enough to have a ride, but that's another driver who, I don't know, maybe if we get to a certain age, it doesn't quite look as enticing to spend your money on someone who's a little younger. I don't know, as far as you're when you're a sponsor. It's unfortunate because he's got a tremendous amount of talent and he's a very good driver, but he certainly got the short end of the stick on that one about the middle of this year. That was unfortunate.
Yeah. Hey, I appreciate you coming on tonight. If you want to tell everybody where they can find you and where they can see the stuff that you put up and give everybody an update on if you have the website up yet.
Yeah, no website. That's my off-season project, and I'll plenty of time to work on that. You know, it's at Racing Underdogs on Twitter. I'm going to be getting a little more active on the Facebook. It's Racing Underdogs on Facebook as well. And, you know, what I'm looking forward to is expanding. This year we had, I guess they called it an underdog fantasy racing team where you can only pick the small team drivers. I'd like to expand that and offer some more sheet metal and things. So hopefully people want to join up with that league. I'll be posting some info in a few weeks and starting getting ready for 2017. So I'm looking forward to it. I appreciate you letting me come on.
Absolutely. We're going to have you on in a couple of weeks. We'll have you back. I appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Hammer. Have a good one.
All righty. All right. That's Racing Underdogs on Twitter. You can just check them out. Just go on there. Do your little at Racing Underdogs. They're on Facebook. They're also on Instagram. And like he just said, he's going to be getting more into the Instagram and the Facebook. And, you know, he's got to get that website going. He's got quite a big deal on Twitter. I go to his Twitter page to find out NASCAR information when I don't feel like reading through all the other nonsense that everybody else writes. He keeps it brief, you know, because it's Twitter. So I like that. So basically, we got 15 minutes in the show, and I'm just going to put it out there like this. Just like I said in the beginning, I will not be here next week. I will be back December 2nd. The show basically re-kicks off. It's the old new Hollering with Hammer. I'm looking forward to it. You know, we're going to get into some topics. All right. We're going to get in, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? We're going to say absolutely a lot on this new coming program. And, we're going to talk about everything. So I'm just going to put it out there like this, because a lot of these little dudes, these little gabones, these little jerk-offs that I deal with, they're afraid to say this. And they know they do it, but they're afraid to. And I wasn't going to take the show too crazy tonight because I just had two great guests. But, you know, you might want to, if the children are listening, you can turn off the radio or not turn off the radio, but, you know, throw a toy in the other room so the children chase it. We're going to get into it. Everybody knows, every guy, you've tossed a woman's salad. Stop going around saying you don't eat ass, you don't toss salad. That's really starting to piss me off because you're down there anyway doing her a favor because she done did you a favor or you just like that. Whatever the situation is, you're down there anyway, you've tossed the salad. Okay? And most of you did it when you weren't drunk. So don't say, oh, maybe when I was drunk. Nah, most of you were down there, you handled your business. We're going to get into topics like that. Why do guys lie about stuff like that? I'm honest with it. I toss salad. Women's salad. Okay? Why do guys have to, like, why is that something you lie about? If I'm down there anyway, fulfilling a request, or just because I want to be down there, and that's what she wants, or I'm just, you know, I'm going for it. I say, fuck it, right? I'm going to do it. Why? If somebody asks me, yo, you toss salad on a woman? Yes, I do. So we're going to find out why guys lie about stuff like this and why they continue to do it. We're going to get into politics. We're going to get into politicians that are lying and stealing. We're going to get into the highways. We're going to get into why does a toll booth in New York, why do they change for trucks and cars every time you go through them? Today it was $3.50 for me. Yesterday, three trips, every trip was different. Got the same truck. They don't weigh you. It don't go by weight. Why every time I go through? Where is the money going when I go through the toll booth on 95 in New York, and I go through the toll booth, and I hit a pothole the size of Rhode Island, and I lose half a can of chewing tobacco all over myself when I'm trying to go down the highway? Why ain't that getting fixed? We're going to talk about stuff like that. We're going to go into PTSD. We're going to go into autism. There will be seriousness to my show. You know, from time to time, we're going to get into real serious topics. Matter of fact, the second week that I'm back, I'm bringing somebody on to talk about PTSD, which is something that means something to me. And, you know, I want to go into it. I want the world to know about it. But we're going to get into autism at some point if I can find somebody, a doctor or something, that will talk about it. And I can't. You know, I have two children that are diagnosed with autism. Autism is something really real to me, okay? And I'm trying to find somebody to come on and talk about it. I'm also trying to arrange, I got to talk to the head cheese when the show is over tonight.
Yo, what's up?
What's up, head cheese? I got a question for you. I'm looking into going live. Some great people out in New Milford, Connecticut, are doing an event raising toys for, you know, the needy, mm-hmm. you know, needy families and stuff like that. And I'd like to go live from that event. It's a Friday night, so it's, you know, my regular deal anyway. I'd like to go live from that event. It's in New Milford, Connecticut. It's going to be at the Odd Fellows. I'm kind of involved in that deal. One of my best friends is right in the mix of that. And I'd like to go live from that. No, the Odd Fellows. It's an organization.
Okay.
In New Milford, they raise stuff. You know, it's kind of like the Moose Lodge or
okay.
like the
yep.
upscale
yep.
Moose Lodge. You know, like not quite Mason level. And they're good guys. They constantly just give. They do dinners 3-4 times a week, and they just give out money to the town of New Milford. You know, help the parks, help the children, whatever stuff like that.
When
but
is
that,
it?
That's the type of stuff. It's I think it's December 2nd. And I get all the times and all that information. You know, we got a couple weeks mm-hmm. to that. But obviously, I wouldn't be uncensored over there. We won't be talking about tossing salad in front of the children. But it's a great event. I'm going to bring a toy down there. And
sounds good.
You know, they give it out. So how you been?
Not bad. Not bad, everybody. Not too bad.
Just getting ready for the Trump takeover.
Oh, yeah. Make America great again, huh?
Make America great again. I mean, we said it for, I don't
know.
All
these whiny little bitch protesters to shut their freaking mouth, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's over and done with, you know, shut your mouth, you know, go home. And, you know, I was upset when Obama became president, but I went to work the next day. You know,
yeah.
I've been upset over multiple presidents, not just Obama. And I went to work the next day. And, you know, through every president, we've gone to war. Through every president, we've had ups and downs. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm a pretty staunch Republican, and I thought Bush was a joke. I'm not talking about
right.
the old man. The old man was a very underrated president. I thought George,
right.
George, or I thought W was a complete
W.
fucking idiot, if I could be honest.
Right.
And I'm a Republican, you know. So, you know, hey, if Trump won by rigging the election, or if he won by some underhanded way, then you know what? I would condone these, and I'm not going to say protest, these riots. But he won fair and freaking square. Go back to school. You're wasting your fucking parents' money, first of all, you little assholes. Most of you didn't vote, so get out of the road. If you get hit by a truck or a car and you're in the road shining a flashlight in the driver's eyes, sorry, I ain't got nothing for you. Go back to school. Get back in class.
Yeah, that's absolutely ridiculous. They're holding these circles. The Channel 2 out of New York shows that these visuals in New York where they're lighting candles and
yeah.
they're all crying. I mean, really? And they're college students, and you know, I know what college costs, you know, in colleges around here. But we're talking like NYU and stuff like that. I mean, it's got to be, you know, up there, and they're out there in the streets crying and moaning, and I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. But the whole point is, Trump won, and he won because to most people, he's something new. People are
yep.
fed up with what has been going on, You know, and I'm not just saying that like bashing Hillary. You know, I bash Hillary. I mean, everybody knows that, but we're tired of the
same old deal.
I think anybody they would have put up against Trump, Trump was going to win. It's the same old politician. Here comes Trump.
Yep.
Yeah, he talked a lot of shit, but the American people obviously liked it. You know, and the thing that bothered me the most was on election night, they kept doing the polls, you know, which obviously showed don't mean shit.
Yeah.
But the one that kept coming up was uneducated. What they mean by that, uneducated.
Not college educated.
On CNN, it was non-college educated.
Right.
But they kept saying non-educated white males between 26 and 46 or whatever.
You got to be a redneck to vote for Trump, they think.
Right, but it was proven not because afterwards they said that the black female, the black male and female college educated vote in I think it was like 90% of the states, the most of the election of that demographic was Trump. So all that shit that night on TV was just absolute nonsense, and that was bothering me, the uneducated vote, which turned out is non-college educated.
You know, I heard a very great, I heard a very great quote that really rings true. And if anybody's listening tonight, they don't take anything away from what we're talking about, take this away, that the media took Trump literally but not seriously, and Trump supporters took Trump seriously but not literally. And what I mean by that is there's not going to be a fucking wall, okay? There's not going to be a physical wall from Mexico to the U.S. It's not going to happen. Not going to be a physical wall. You know, there's not going to be all the stuff that Trump, you know, all these trigger words that Trump – you got to take him seriously but not figuratively. And the media just did the direct opposite. And that's – you know, they tried to vilify him and they tried to make him a joke. And you know what? He's the 45th president of the United States, so respect it.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
He won
fair and square. And, you know, they took that, you know, wall thing a little off, but we need the immigration reform. We need everything he's talking. You know, he talked crazy. Yeah. And that's what we wanted to hear.
And
why he was voting.
Another example of the media taking him literally is – you know, they spun everybody on the left. They spun them into a frenzy by saying basically that Trump's going to deport every immigrant. That's absolutely fucking false. If you're a legal U.S. citizen, if you're in the United States legally is the key word. You're not going anywhere. If you're not here legally, you're goddamn right. Get the hell out. Come back.
Yep.
You're more than welcome to come back if you do it the legal way. Is that so much to freaking ask? I don't get it.
No, it's not. I'm for immigration. When it's done the right way, my people's was all voted in over here to Ellis Island. All right.
That's the thing. Hey,
you know,
think about that. You everybody is an immigrant, okay?
Right.
But people had to go through a certain way to become an immigrant. You had to go through Ellis Island. You had to do this. You had to do that. I mean. If we all came over on a boat secretly, I wouldn't be for that either. But our ancestors came through Ellis Island, which was the immigration policy back in the day. They did it legally.
Right. Yep. Period. And a lot was done before they got on those boats for them to even be eligible to get on those boats, which they did. And then they came here and they had to go through a lot at Ellis Island, and some were not letting once they got here. They were sent back.
Don't see the Democrats and liberals crying, every immigrant is going. And you know what? I mean, we're running out of time here, but the gay rights issue is another thing. Trump doesn't give a shit who you fucking marry. He doesn't care if you marry your boyfriend, your girlfriend. I mean, Christ, Trump was a pretty liberal Democrat up until last year. He doesn't care if you abort your baby. He doesn't care. Those issues – and people are going to find – I have some transgendered – and I have some friends in the LGBTQXY, whatever the fuck it is. Community.
Right, whatever they
and they're up in arms. Well, we're gonna lose our rights. And I'm like, you guys obviously don't know who Trump is. If you base your opinion on Trump of what you hear in the military, on the media, then I'm sorry, you don't know Donald Trump. Am I friends with Donald Trump?
Right.
No. Do I know Donald Trump without listening to the media? Yes. He's very socially liberal and fiscally conservative. He's more of an independent, but the reason he didn't go independent, and Gary Johnson, who made an asshole of himself, did, is because Trump
complete
is
asshole.
Smart enough to know that an independent will never win a election in the United States presidency. It won't happen, ever. Now there's a two-party system. It's not going to happen. Back in the day, you know, 100 years ago, sure. Now, no. So he has to say the rhetoric to get the Republican nomination. You know, oh, I hate gays, or, you know, not hate, but I'm against the gays, and I'm against this. He's not. He could give two shits.
Right.
And that's why, you know, I mean, you know, with this LLC, Victory Lane Radio, and my taxes, I got like 42 pages of taxes. It's bullshit. And I'm just a little tiny, tiny, tiny blip for a company. I mean, these corporations have just hundreds and hundreds and probably up to thousands of pages for taxes and tax codes. And, you know, they got to hire full-time people, you know, and Trump's like, I'm going to simplify the tax code. It's going to be one to three pages. I love that. And that's just one, you know, example of why I think he's going to be good. He's surrounding himself with choo-choo. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Trump, I got a good feeling about Trump. It is what it is. You're right. Gary Johnson, you know, made a complete asshole out of himself. And the Libertarian Party needs to really look at getting a Libertarian, a full-fledged Libertarian.
I think Weld would have been better.
And restarting.
Yeah, if it was Weld Johnson, maybe. But, you know, this was Libertarian's best shot, because nobody really loves either candidate. Clinton or Trump. But, you know, we just can't. If you're going to elect Hillary Clinton, you're going to have 8 more years of Obama. And
right.
That's like cutting off our nose to spite our face, you know? One way I look at it is the United States survived Obama for 8 years. And I'm serious. There was a lot of things that went wrong under his presidency. Was it intentional? No. I like Obama says many times, you know, your job is to just move the needle. You know? It's not to really – you're not going to make huge differences because of – especially if you have a Republican Congress and you're a Democrat or vice versa.
Yep. That's
You know what I'm saying?
I see a lot of things Obama. I mean, whatever, you can say whatever you want about any president. I mean, you can find things wrong with, you know, everybody's favorite president was Bill Clinton because he got a blowjob and, you know, smoked weed or whatever. But whatever that what was, Obama got a bad rap, but a lot of shit he did fucked up. A lot of the stuff he did was just mistake after mistake after mistake in my eyes.
Yeah.
A lot of things were done that, you know, just don't make sense. And so... I know you're pretty busy tonight, Eric, so I figure you want to close this thing down tonight.
All right, buddy.
So I'll just leave it like this. I'll leave you with a thought, everybody, that the gray head sees Eric LaFlesh, VictoryLaneRadio.com, what he just put on here. I'm going to say this, though. Before I leave tonight, Eric LaFlesh, I need you to hand me a trophy when I walk out the door, man. Because everybody in America needs a trophy now, goddammit. And I want mine. You know, eighth place now in a basketball tournament in preschool gets a trophy. So when I walk out of here tonight, Eric LaFlesh, I'd like a trophy. To the LGBTY whatever community, Hollering with a Hammer Show, got nothing but respect for you. Just please don't grab my butt. And, you know, that's what it is. We're going full speed on this thing. I appreciate Eric LaFlesh sticking by. VictoryLaneRadio.com. I'm going to take the mic. I'm going to smash it. I'm going to walk the fuck out.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Bump and Run. Check us out next Monday at 7 p.m. on the Victory Lane Radio Network. Couldn't hear the show live and want to hear it again? Tell your friends you can hear it all on VictoryLaneRadio.com.
HDRadioNetwork.com.